Greetings in the name of Jesus to each one. As the day progressed this Good Friday, and I saw the rain, and then I started almost to clear off, and then all of a sudden it was once again raining, I thought for a few minutes about, in the song, The Old Rugged Cross, there's a phrase that says, "And he took it to dark Calvary." So what is this? There was a time, the space of 3 hours, when mortals cannot sufficiently comprehend the divine, I hesitate to say transaction, but the divine interplay that was going on during those hours of darkness, when the Son of God came to earth and was, after horrible suffering, hanging on a cross. And the purpose of it all was our redemption. And the worthiness of the blood had to be that it would pay the price for the sins of mankind. And somehow in all of that, darkness fell upon the whole scene. However it all played itself out, Jesus himself said, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But it was dark Calvary. And so as I looked at kind of the gloom of the evening setting in, I thought, maybe this is just suitable. So welcome to our communion service on this Good Friday evening, April 3rd. As far as the order of the service, in just a few minutes, I'm not sure if there's anyone here that was not here at the preparatory service, and so if there is, opportunity will be given to give your testimony of your personal peace and desire to participate in communion this evening. And then we'll have a short communion sermon. It being an evening service, it will not be a lengthy one. The title actually is, and maybe I'm taking a risk here, the title is Communion Made Simple. The risk is that you might think I'm talking down to you, and it's not that at all. Then after the communion service, Brother Mozem will be reading the foot washing and alms scriptures. And then that will be followed by our feet washing service and the lifting of an offering. And then at the end, Brother James, if you would then be prepared to close the service. All right. Is there anyone here that was not here on Wednesday evening that would like to give an expression regarding their peace and preparation for communion? If not, there was one item that I had hadn't thought through at the time, but Stephanie, our sister Stephanie, is communing as a guest here, and so I would like to just open it up to you. Would you support our invitation to have her commune with us here this evening? Could you show that by the raise of your hand? Thank you. Communion made simple. What is the importance of the Lord's Supper, or what we call Christian communion? You know, there are some here this evening that have never participated in communion. Jody and Mackenzie and Melinda, we use the term sometimes, the word sometimes, unspeakable. And you know what that literally means is you can't really put words to it. And so I do mean that in the sense that from a pastoral perspective and a congregational perspective, I want to assure you young sisters that there are no words to properly express the joy that it brings to our hearts and to the rest of the congregation for you to have grown up in your homes, to have come to know the Lord Jesus, the one around whose table we gather this evening. And now you are in Him, and join with us as we gather around the Lord's table. That is a wonderful blessing. And as I reflected on this, I began to think about, well, how many times have some of the rest of us had communion? And I think 18 years old when I was baptized and would have first participated in communion. I am now 59. So that means 40, about 80 times. And I'm wondering, is there someone here that would have been, has reached about 100 times? Okay, so there's a pretty broad breadth here. But I would say in all of this, the point is not the numbers. The point is in understanding in our hearts what it means to gather around the Lord's table. I remember, and I would characterize it this way, my own beggarly experience in my first few times in participating in communion. It was the way things were in a language I did not understand well. I remember having some kind of vague understanding of what we're doing here, but I confess that actually it was Brother James Stutzman. Many of you would know him, you know, used to go to Sharon at the time. He asked me after our communion on Monday, we were at work, and he said, so what does the bread and the cup, what do they stand for? And I was but I was not confident enough that I would quickly give an answer. And so it is my hope this evening that in particular for Jody and Mackenzie and Melinda, and also for Brother Elmer, and for Henry and Leona, and all the rest of us in between, that it will be very clear to us, and none of us will leave here this evening wondering, now what exactly did these things symbolize as we gathered around the Lord's table? So I repeat again the question, what is the importance of the Lord's Supper, or Christian communion? A study of the Lord's Supper, or the even just contemplating the Lord's Supper and participating in this communion is a soul-stirring experience because of the depth of meaning that is wrapped up, that is contained in this undertaking. It was during the age-old celebration of the Passover on the evening of His death that Jesus instituted a significant new fellowship meal that we observe to this day. So I want to say this, allow your minds to think on a broad scope. What we are undertaking here this evening is not a mere contrivance of men. This is not something that the church came up with, and it's this. This is part of what we do because we're members of the church. We are actually in a very direct line walking in the path of the Lord, carrying out what God has said, instructed, and spoke thousands of years ago. And it's today an integral part of Christian worship, and it causes us to remember our Lord's death and His resurrection and to look for His glorious return in the future. So what was the origination of what we call today the Lord's Supper? It goes all the way back to, you might say that, well, the reason for it goes all the way back to the Garden of Eden when men fell into sin. So there is the human predicament. We are sinners. We have fallen into sin and broken the fellowship that men had with God originally. But there came this point in time when God's people were after 400 years of captivity in Egypt, were now on the verge of being delivered, as the scripture says, by God's mighty arm or mighty hand. He is going to deliver them from Egypt. And there, and you know the story well. There's this whole sequence of plagues. And then there came that last plague, the final plague, when the firstborn of the Egyptians died and the Israelites were spared because of the blood of the lamb that was sprinkled upon the doorpost. So I want to turn to that passage and just allow our minds to think about in this time in the history of God's people. This is the manner you shall eat. This is was the instruction that God gave to the children of Israel that night when they were to kill the Passover lamb. He said, "In this manner you shall eat, with your belt fastened, and your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and ye shall eat it in haste." Now, what is this? You know, well, the idea is to be prepared to leave at any moment. So, eat it in haste. Maybe, I don't guess that means today we should be in a hurry. But you get the idea here. There was an urgency here to be prepared. And then he says this, "It is the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and all the gods of Egypt. I will execute judgments on all the gods. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over that house, pass over you. And no plague shall befall it or destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be for you a memorial." Actually, before we continue reading here, just to clarify this in our minds, let's remember that there is a certain typology here, where all of us in our unconverted state are, so to speak, in the land of Egypt, where we are enslaved, just like the children of Israel were in Egypt. And when we are delivered from Egypt, just like the children of Israel were delivered from Egypt by a mighty arm of God, likewise, so can we be delivered from the bondage of our sin, delivered out of Egypt by God's mighty arm. But in this first event, this first evening, when the lamb, a perfect lamb, was killed, the very specific, won't take time to go into how, but very specific way that it was to be killed and treated, and then the blood would be sprinkled on the doorposts and the lintel, and this is what God said, "This day shall be for you a memorial day, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, as a statute forever. You shall keep it as a feast." So this typology, this shedding of blood, this was so significant that that night in Egypt, God said, "Remember this, and to make sure you do, every year have a feast. It's called the Passover. But every year have this feast so you remember how that I passed over you when I saw the blood." And those of us who are on this side of Calvary can look back and see perfectly what he meant or why it was. But at the time, it was just to keep that Passover. So, Jody and Mackenzie and Melinda and Henry and Leona and all the rest of us, when we gather around the Lord's table here this evening, just remember that it all started in Egypt with the Passover. So fast forward several thousand years, and we are, and imagine yourself in Jerusalem. So what was the origin of what we call the Last Supper? The scripture is very clear. This is found in Luke, where he talks about how that Jesus gathered with his disciples to do what? Eat the Passover. This feast, this meal that God had instructed all the way back there in Egypt, here is Jesus and his disciples are gathered together and they are eating the Passover meal. Verse 13 says the last phrase, and they prepared the Passover. And when the hour came, he reclined at the table and the apostles with him. And he said to them, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you that I will not eat it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And how little must they have understood what he was thinking about that evening when he uttered those words. He took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I tell you that from now on I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And then he took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And likewise, the cup, after they had eaten, saying, this cup that is poured out is for you, is the new covenant in my blood. So, he concluded the feast by singing a hymn, Matthew tells us, and then they went out into the night to the Mount of Olives, and there Jesus was betrayed as predicted by Judas, and the following day he was crucified. The Apostle Paul wrote about these events that are recorded here by Luke, and he tells us a few things that are not recorded in the Gospels. One of them is, actually, he talks about the Lord's Supper. I don't know if this is the first time that it was called the Lord's Supper, but Paul now writes some years later about the Lord's Supper. And he says, therefore, whoever eats of this bread and drinks of the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of the Lord. So a man should examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of Christ of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That's in 1 Corinthians 11. So that's one thing that was not recorded here, but then Paul wrote about the Lord's Supper. He also said, for whenever you eat and drink, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. So this places a limit on what we are undertaking here this evening. It's until the Lord's return. So, let's think about this. Could not Jesus have said, there are some things I want you to remember me by. Why don't you, and so here's what I want you to do. On a certain mountain, because that's how God said to Abraham, go up to a certain mountain, and so on. So, on a certain mountain, build a temple of stone, or gold, or whatever. And that temple will remind you of my broken body. And put a pool there in the front, and fill it with living water. And that'll remind you of the blood that was shed. I mean, could have said something like that, but rather than this kind of material or this monument, the Lord Jesus took two very simple elements that were part of the Passover meal, and he said, this bread is my body that's broken for you. By the way, when he says broken, you know, kind of what comes to mind, when we think of broken bodies, what comes to mind? Broken bones. Not a bone was broken. So there's a different sense in which Jesus' body was broken. And it must have to do with the way the prophet Isaiah wrote that by his stripes we are healed. That he was afflicted. and the whole way how Jesus' body was broken, how that achieves, effects salvation, is not is more than the undertaking of our service here this evening. But it was the bread, and it was the fruit of the vine. And he said, "Do this in remembrance of me." It's a new covenant, he said. So the old covenant that was associated with the Passover in Egypt, I want to take just a moment to turn to Hebrews, where in Hebrews 8, "Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will establish a new covenant with the house of Israel, with the house of Judah, not like the covenant I made with their fathers on the day that I took them by the hand and brought them out of the land of Egypt. For they did not continue in my covenant, so I showed no concern for them, declares the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law into their minds, and I will write them in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall not teach each one his brother and his neighbor and each one his brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least to the greatest. I will be merciful toward their iniquities, and I will remember their sins no more." So there is this new covenant that arises out of the keeping of the Passover that Jesus kept with his disciples, that Paul wrote about as the Lord's Supper. And we refer to this evening as the Lord's Table. And it all is a remembrance of what Christ did for us and a celebration of what we will receive as a result of his sacrifice. And I'll expand on that more in a few minutes. So at this time, we are gathered here as members of that new covenant with God's law written in our hearts, the knowledge of God in our minds. We are in this great truth. We are in Christ. And as members of his body, we gather around his table. So that's what we will undertake to do now, is to portray the Lord's death just the way that Paul wrote to the Corinthians. And 2,000 years later, just like we sang, "Were you there when they crucified my Lord?" 2,000 years later, we're here in the presence of the Lord. So at this time, I'm going to ask the pastors if you would come forward, James and Tim, and if you would then serve the bread to the congregation. We'll pause just a moment here while, as they come forward. If there's anyone that says, you know, I examined myself and I would like to clear myself before I commune, then we'll pause just briefly if there's anyone that has an expression to make. If not, let's stand together. And just like Paul wrote that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when he had given thanks, so let us give thanks. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we are gathered here around the Lord's table, and it is to understand anew and be reminded again and to proclaim with our words and our actions and by our lives the reality of the broken body and the shed blood of your Son Jesus that brought our salvation. And so we give thanks as we participate in this time, this communion feast this evening. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.